the last line in that song that we sang, if you remember, it's, "Oh, the half has never yet been told." The half has never yet been told. And that's from Scripture. And maybe you recall, I'm not actually going to be looking, talking too much about Solomon today, although we're continuing with Haggai and the rebuilding of the temple following Solomon's temple that was built and that was destroyed previously. But you may recall in Scripture where the Queen of Sheba heard about Solomon's wisdom and heard about Solomon's wealth and his fame that had spread, and also heard about the God that Solomon served. And the Queen of Sheba came to Solomon with lots of questions in her mind, much in her mind, and with many questions and with much wondering. And the Queen of Sheba came and spent some time with Solomon, and she was amazed, and she left in awe, and she left in wonder at all that he had said to her and how he had answered all her questions. And she left saying, you know, the half has not yet been told. He told me all these wonderful things, but you don't even know the half of it. And that ties in very nicely to the title of my message this morning, which is, "The Best is Yet to Come." And so we're going to see this morning, continuing with Haggai's message where we left off last Sunday, that the people have begun building the temple as they were stirred up by God's prophet, God's servant Haggai, and even by Zechariah the prophet, to rebuild the temple. And in our last verse where we left off last week, we find that the people came together. Very last verse of chapter 1 in the book of Haggai. They came together and they began to work on the house of the Lord Almighty, their God. And if you want to turn in your pew Bibles, I believe I have that page number. It's, let me see, page 1121. 1121 in your pew Bibles. And we're going to look this morning at Haggai's second message to God's people. After the building had come together, and now they're beginning to rebuild the temple to God, Lord God Almighty. And I hope this morning that as we look at this short message of Haggai, which is God's message in the first 9 verses of Haggai chapter 2, that you'll receive encouragement. Maybe you'll receive and you'll think in wonder and awe, and maybe you'll be encouraged as you think about what God has prepared for his children today. Maybe you'll realize, as the Queen of Sheba realized, that the half has not yet been told, that the best is yet to come. Well, we saw last Sunday where Haggai stirred up the people. Actually, it was God and the Spirit of the Lord stirred up the people to work, to begin working and began rebuilding the temple of the Lord in Jerusalem in 520 B.C. And now, beginning with chapter 2 from the book of Haggai, this small book, 1 month after the work of rebuilding the temple has begun, God sends a message of encouragement through Haggai. They begin working, and now God is encouraging them as they are rebuilding his temple. And in verse 3, we read, "Who of you is left? Who of you is left who saw this house in its former glory? How does it look to you now? Does it seem to you like nothing?" Well, that doesn't sound like much of an encouraging message so far. We can look back to the book of Ezra, and I won't turn there, but I encourage you on your own study to read the book of Ezra and read about the rebuilding of the temple. And in Ezra, I believe it's the third chapter, we can read where they've built the foundation. The foundation to the temple has been laid. And we realize from the book of Ezra that there are many, maybe the older individuals, older priests and Levites and heads of the family, who had seen the former temple and all its splendor and its glory, Solomon's temple, before it was destroyed. And as they came and saw the foundation that was laid, Scripture tells us that they wept aloud. That there were many there who were joyful and were glad, but there were many who wept aloud when they saw the foundation that had been laid. You can read about the temple that Solomon built in the book of 1 Kings, but Haggai the prophet, the word of the Lord through Haggai saying, you know, maybe there's some of you that are left. They would have been quite old, I think, at this time. It had been 70 years, 66 or 70 years since the temple had been destroyed. But maybe there were some elderly people, individuals who saw the glory of the first temple, Solomon's temple. And now maybe they were a little discouraged as this second temple under the governor Zerubbabel is being built. And Haggai is saying to them, you know, does it seem nothing to you now? Is it small in contrast to the former Solomon's temple? And if maybe they hadn't been there personally to see Solomon's temple, I'm sure the memory is very much alive and vivid in the minds of the people. But the word of the Lord is a word of encouragement in the second message from Haggai. And if we continue, we see in verse 4 where Haggai says, the word of the Lord through Haggai says, "But now be strong, O Zerubbabel," declares the Lord. "Be strong," or "take courage, O Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest." "Be strong," or "take courage, all you people of the land," declares the Lord. "Be strong, take courage, and work, for I am with you," declares the Lord of hosts, the Lord God Almighty. "This is what I covenanted with you when you came out of Egypt, and my spirit remains among you. Do not fear." A message of encouragement for God's people. And I've highlighted some words on my paper this morning in bold black type. Be strong. Take courage. Do not fear. Work. I am with you, says the Lord God Almighty. "This is what I covenanted with you when you came out of Egypt, and now my presence remains with you. Do not fear." God takes them back to a time, takes his people back to an earlier generation, back to a time when he redeemed his people with an outstretched arm. And I'd like to read just a few verses from the book of Exodus. Exodus chapter 19, verses 4 through 6. Exodus 19, verses 4 through 6. This is, verse 3 says, "Then Moses went up to God, and the Lord called to him from the mountain. And this is what the Lord God said to Moses. This is what you were to say to the children, to the people of Israel. Beginning of verse 4, "You yourselves have seen what I did to Egypt, and how I carried you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Verse 5, "Now if you obey me fully and keep my covenant, then out of all nations you will be my treasured possession. Although the whole earth is mine, you will be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words you are to speak to the Israelites." Encouragement for God's people is what we're finding in Haggai's second message, Haggai chapter 2. Encouragement for God's people, for as Matthew Henry says, "Those that are hardy in the service of God shall receive fresh encouragement from him to proceed in it." Matthew Henry says, "Set the wheels going, and God will oil them." Set the wheels going, and God will oil them. And continuing in verse 6 from our passage, encouraging words. Verse 6, "This is what the Lord Almighty says. In a little while I will once more shake the heavens and the earth, the sea and the dry land." In a little while I will once more shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land. If we continued reading in our Exodus 19th chapter, we would read about the time when the law was given at Mount Sinai. And we would read how Moses led the people out of their camp to meet God, and how they stood at the foot of the mountain, Mount Sinai, and how at that time smoke billowed up from Mount Sinai, for the Lord descended upon it in fire, and how the whole mountain shook violently. At that time, the writer of Hebrews says, his voice shook the earth, but now he has promised, What's more, I will shake not only the earth, but also the heavens. But we are receiving a kingdom that can't be shaken. Therefore, we should be thankful and we should worship God acceptably with reverence and with awe. And continuing from our passage in verse 7, the word of the Lord says, I will shake all nations, and the desired of all nations will come. And I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord of hosts, or the Lord Almighty. The silver is mine, and the gold is mine, declares the Lord Almighty. The glory of this present house will be greater than the glory of the former house, says the Lord Almighty. And in this place, I will grant peace, declares the Lord Almighty. This is an encouraging word, through the prophet Haggai to his people who had begun work on rebuilding the temple. And I know there are many senses in which our context in which these prophecies find their fulfillment. And there's the sense, I'm sure, in which the gold and the silver articles, which Nebuchadnezzar, the king of the Chaldeans, the king of Babylon, had carried off when the temple had been destroyed, and from the treasury, all these things had been taken away. And there's the sense in which these items would be returned to Zerubbabel's temple, that they would be returned and deposited in their rightful place. There's also perhaps a fulfillment in that, yes, this temple is not as grand and in grand a scale as the former temple, Solomon's temple. But there is the sense in which this temple existed and lasted longer. And though it was destroyed, I've read and I've heard, and I even called my father-in-law and I talked with him about this. And he said, yes, that part of the wall or a part of something from this temple remained, that Herod the Great, magnificent structure, his temple that was rebuilt, included or incorporated a portion of Zerubbabel's temple, enlarging it, creating it on a much grander scale. And there's certainly the sense that Christ, the desire of all the nations, when the fullness of time was right, God sent his son, born of a woman. And Christ was presented at the temple of Herod the Great in Jerusalem. Christ, the long-expected Jesus, the desire of every nation. And Haggai is saying that I will shake all nations, and the desired of all nations will come, and I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord Almighty. And we can read in the book of Acts, and we did read in the book of Acts in our Bible studies throughout the past year. And after Jesus' death and resurrection and his ascension to heaven, his instructions to his apostles to stay and until they receive power from on high, and the Holy Spirit came upon them. And then we can read in the book of Acts where the apostles stood in the temple courts. The apostles stood in the temple courts proclaiming the message, the gospel message of Jesus Christ, the good news that Jesus is Christ. In Acts, chapter 5, I'm not sure, but it reads where they proclaimed the full message of this new life, the message of Jesus Christ. When Jesus was on this earth, he referred to himself as one greater than this temple. That Christ is the Lord of the Sabbath, that he is one greater than the temple is here. And also again, the one greater than Solomon is here. The prophet Isaiah, in Isaiah 42, verse 6, speaking of the Lord's servant, speaking of Christ, says, I will keep you and will make you to be a covenant for the people, and a light for the Gentiles. Arise and shine, for your light has come. A light shining in darkness, Christ is referred to. A light of salvation for all people, for revelation to the Gentiles, and for glory to Israel. And Christ, by his sacrificial death, once for all, became the mediator of a new and a better covenant. The scripture tells us that he will appear a second time to bring salvation to those who are waiting for him. This is an encouraging message, an encouraging word to God's people, and it has ultimate fulfillment when we look forward to a time, a new age to come, when Christ will return, as Isaiah, or as the writer of Hebrews says, a second time to bring salvation to those who are waiting for him. So we can say that as God's people, assuredly and with confidence, we can be encouraged and we can say that the best is yet to come, that the half has not yet been told. Paul says to the church at Corinth that the eye hath not seen, or ear hath not heard, nor hath entered into the heart of man that which God has prepared for those who love him. So I say, as God's people, be encouraged. Take heart. The best is yet to come. No doubt there was discouragement. No doubt there was discouragement among God's people at this time in their circumstances and with the rebuilding of the temple. No doubt there was the temptation to look back. And I think there's a temptation for us as God's children sometimes to look back. I thought of, you know, we use the term sometimes glory days, looking back to the good old days, and maybe sometimes to be discouraged and to think back to former times. And maybe there's the temptation to be discouraged. But the message to God's people through the prophet Haggai is to not to look back. And not to look back to the former temple. Not to be discouraged, but to realize the importance of being strong and the importance of working and the importance of God's assurity and presence being with them as they move forward. We look forward as God's people to a new heaven and a new earth. A new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. No doubt there were many at this time, many people who looked around at events that had happened and looked around in opposition to rebuilding and looked around in discouragement, thinking to the temple that had been destroyed, maybe looking at the new temple that was being built and saying, oh, you know, where's the glory of the former edifice or the former structure? We may have hosts against us as God's people, persecution or opposition or discouragement. But if we have the Lord of hosts, the Lord God Almighty for us, as Paul says, who can be against us? And as God's people, we need to look forward with a forward faith, looking ahead, realizing the best is yet to come. If we could summarize the general conference tone or the tenor of the general conference or summarize it all up in one sentence or phrase this past July in Atlanta, it would be certainly the need for vision. And we heard many wonderful talks, sermons, and many individuals that stood in front on the platform and talked about the vision for the Church of God and Atlanta Bible College, but also talked about the vision for God's people, for the future. Vision and hope for the future. And certainly of all people, Christians should be full of hope, and full of joy, and full of vision, filled with vision, hope for what God has prepared for his people. As we sang, joy unspeakable and full of glory, the half has not yet been told. I've had a lot of struggles this week looking at these words and researching, but I've also had a lot of joy. And you can't read just 9 verses from Haggai chapter 2 in preparing for a sermon without reading many, many, many other wonderful promises and prophecies. I read of Ezekiel. Ezekiel had a vision. Ezekiel envisioned a temple that was never built, but a temple that was spelled out in detail, and a temple in which the glory of the Lord returned. He heard the waters raging, thunderous waters raging as the sea, and he envisioned the glory of the Lord returning to the temple as never before. And I read Malachi and Zechariah, who's Haggai's contemporary, and Zechariah had much to do in stirring up the people to rebuild the temple of Zerubbabel at this time. And there are many, many prophecies, and they look forward to an ultimate fulfillment that will find its fulfillment only in the return of the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, back to this earth. They look forward, Isaiah and Haggai and Malachi and Zechariah, to a time, to a future time when peace and when prosperity will reign. A time when the Lord Jesus Christ will reign. And Zechariah talks in chapter, maybe it's Malachi or Zechariah, I think it's Zechariah chapter 14, where the Lord is coming to reign and where his feet will stand upon the Mount of Olives. And it says, on that day there will be no light nor no cold or frost. It will be a unique day without daytime or nighttime, a day known to the Lord. On that day living water will flow out from Jerusalem, half to the eastern sea and half to the western sea in summer and in winter. The Lord will be king over the whole earth. On that day there will be one Lord, and his name the only name. And I've read all week the scripture of the prophets talking and looking to the future at a time where the nations will come to Christ and will be blessed by him, in a time when the glory of the Lord will fill the earth as the waters cover the sea. We need to look ahead, realizing that the best is yet to come. We need to have vision. We can look forward as God's people to a time when we are joint heirs, Scripture says, with Christ, and we shall be kings and priests with Christ and shall reign on earth in his future kingdom. The best is yet to come. I'd like to close before we enter into our communion, our time of communion, by reading just a portion of Scripture from the book of Ephesians, Ephesians 2, verse 19 through 21, and Paul, the Apostle Paul, is saying, based upon what Christ has done for us, Paul says this about the believer. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. As God's church, we are a building under construction. We should be encouraged. Remember the words from Haggai chapter 2. Take courage. Be strong, work, for I am with you. Do not fear, for God's people, the best is yet to come.